Hi, everyone. This is Marcy Stahl, creator of the Expand Your Mind, Expand Your Money program. And I am super excited on tonight's call. We have guest expert Jennifer Zweibel. And Jen is an intuitive organizer. And organizing is such a problem area for so many people. It's typically almost all of my clients identify that as being part of their issue. And I'm really excited that Jennifer is the person with us on the call to help address that, because I feel like Jen is really an expert on helping people move through clutter, not just in a let's kind of reorganize your stuff into nice containers sort of way, but in terms of really helping people create the life they want. And so once you're actively engaged in creating your ideal life, clutter is going to be less of an issue then. So I wanted to start with a little bit of how Jen and I met, and it was back in Tampa, Florida in January 2010, and we were just meeting each other as part of a year-long mastermind group. We were part of a group of 20 women who would be staying together that whole year. And, you know, when I think about where we were that January, and there was a certain amount, I think we were both still kind of in a phase of really getting deeper into our core message. And So, you know, I remember for both of us, I think there was a lot of passion and a certain amount of uncertainty that particular January. So it was a long year together. And then in December, I mean, I can't believe that all happened in the same year. In December, we were at a different conference together. And at the end of that conference, the coaches who were running it, you know, offered everyone the opportunity to be with them for 3 days to improve our speaking abilities. And we would have to pay this huge price, you know, to do that. And Jen and I were one of the 14, you know, two of the 14 people who decided to put a vote of confidence in ourselves and our abilities. So we said, yes, we're going to do this. So that late in February the next year, we were back in Florida again, this time in Orlando, at this conference where we were spending like 8 hours or 9 hours a day just getting all this new ideas put into our brain. And then we'd have to go back to our hotel room and do our homework. And the last night, we spent like 5 hours creating presentations from scratch. And, you know, Jen, you were like 3 or 4 months pregnant at the time, and you had a sprained ankle and you were going around that conference. That was a very intense kind of experience. And, you know, throughout it all, one of the things I really love about Jen is her infectious enthusiasm and energy around what she does. So I know it's going to be a really fun evening. You're going to get a lot out of just the experience of being with Jen as well as her expertise. So, Jen, that's a little bit about, you know, our relationship and how we met, but maybe could you start us off with a little bit about your story about what pulled you into organizing, because you have so many skills. I know there were other things that you were doing and were successful at before you really launched on the organizing path.
Yeah, first of all, Marcy, thank you so much. I loved reliving that. I cannot believe that was actually like less than 2 years ago. I didn't realize that, because I feel like I've lived many lifetimes since then. And you're right, back in that first January, clarity was the one word that I was carrying around like so heavily in my heart. I was kind of looking anywhere. I was like, please just help me get clear on what I want to be doing. You know, I'd already been an organizer for almost 10 years, and I knew something had shifted over the last year or two when I'd been working with coaches for the first time, where it took everything to a much deeper level. And all of a sudden, it was no longer just about dealing with the piles of paper or the calendar and the schedule. I was starting to understand that all of those things were reflective of some inner clutter and lack of clarity and some self-sabotage that was going on. And this outside clutter was this major clue as to what was going on and a way to address it. But I was still sort of pushing aside things to figure out what exactly it was that I had discovered and how I could share it with other people. So to answer your question, I had done other things. I had worked in a jewelry design business. It was actually my mom's company for 5 years, and unintentionally, I just ended up working there and helped her by the end basically run a business. So I sort of got a really great hands-on experience learning how to run a business. I sat at every desk. I was the schlepper runaround girl. I was the stone girl. I picked out all the colored stones. I was customer relations. I did trunk shows. I did everything. And I discovered over this time that I loved business. And I had never had any idea that that would happen because I was a creative, you know, a comparative literature major in school. It was not my intention to go into business, but I loved it so much that I was considering going to business school. But instead, I left and needed some time off. Remember, I was working in my mother's company, so I needed a break for a while. And I ended up working at a place temporarily. I became a clinician for kids who had learning issues. And while I was there, I got trained by someone who taught organizing skills specifically for students. And one thing that you all need to know is that I was not born organized. There were certain areas of my life, my notebooks were pretty organized, but other than that, there were piles of clothing, piles of papers. I was up all night the night before a test, the night before a paper. That's kind of how I grew up. That was my MO. And, you know, I did well enough, but it certainly wasn't ideal. And when I discovered that these skills were learnable and they could be taught to students and that could change their lives, I was very excited. And from there, I, you know, very serendipitously ended up working with some students and some adults and sort of, you know, again, unintentionally started working as an organizer for people of different ages. And what I was able to see was however smart they were, however creative they were, if they didn't have these organizing skills, they were overwhelmed. They were often paralyzed, and they were beating themselves up because it's so debilitating to have great ideas and know that you can be a success, whether it's in school or in your business or in your home, but only, you know, the things just keep getting in your way. The piles are physically getting in your way. The lack of planning or not leaving yourself enough time or trying to do too many things and, you know, only being able to do everything part way, it's so disheartening. And I knew this all because I experienced it. And as I worked with my clients, I, of course, was working on myself. And the business continued to evolve until I was working really only with adults and both in business and in their homes. But as I said earlier, what happened was I started working with a business coach finally. And this particular business coach, this is the one that Marcy and I, we were in her mastermind program together, she was the one who actually first introduced me to this concept of inner work combined with outer work. So, yes, you need the systems. Yes, you need to know how to market yourself and, you know, share information in a way that speaks your truth and connects with your ideal client. But if you don't do that inner work of knowing your own value and addressing those voices that come up that tell you you can't do it or you should have done it differently or it's never going to work, then, you know, you're really stuck. You can't just work on the outside. You have to work on the inside. And this was very powerful for me. So while I was working with this business coach, I also started working with a personal coach. As you can tell, I love coaches, and I really believe in them because they made such a big difference in my life. And this personal coach helped me understand really much more about those inner voices. So maybe everybody listening to this call can relate to this on some level. These are the voices that show up automatically when you're considering trying something new or taking a risk or possibly following your dream or doing something that you believe in. And these voices say, you can't do that, or what are you, crazy? You've never done it before. What makes you think you're going to succeed this time? Or, you know, you can't afford to do that. It's too risky. Don't even try it. Or you failed the last time you tried, just stay safe. So all of these critical voices that are basically running in our heads 24 hours a day, and that's just a few of them, are very often the voices that we heard from others as we were growing up, whether it's parents or schools or society, media. These are voices that get so ingrained in us that they govern the way we think about things and the choices that we make. And it's the lucky people to come at some point in their lives to an understanding that just because you think or even believe something doesn't mean it's true. And so as I began to identify these voices, I discovered that I could make different choices. I could respond to the voices instead of react to things based on them. And that was a revolution in my work. I started pulling all that into my organizing and bringing that to the clients that I was working with, and saw the transformation starting to take place on a whole new level, much more powerful, much more lasting, and had huge reverberations far beyond the clutter on their desk or in their calendar. So that's really how my own business has evolved. And what I'd like to share with you tonight is the three really important pieces that I've discovered people need to understand in order to change their relationship with clutter, in order to
Jen,
have it be different.
Jen, can I pause you there for just a second?
Sure.
There were so many juicy good things that you were sharing in your story that I just want to highlight and tie back to some of the things that I frequently talk about with my clients and with my community. So can we take just a couple minutes to do that and then
connect yeah, great.
To those kinds of clutter?
Of course.
Okay. So I'm sure a lot of people are really resonating with what you were saying when you talked at the beginning about feeling that sense of overwhelm and knowing that you're a smart, creative person and you have good ideas, but you feel like something you're just not able to create the vision that you have in your mind and feeling like the clutter is getting in the way. So I think a lot of people were probably like, yes,
yeah.
I relate to that. And then in terms of, you know, the voices inside your head and the choice that you made to respond to those versus to react, I totally love that. You know, that's such an important piece of working on your mindset is not falling for those voices, because often those voices, they're not really you, but they're someone else, you know, like, you know, the voice that tells me to turn off the light when I leave the room so I won't waste electricity, that, you know, that's clearly my grandmother, and that's not really me. So sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's just, you know, a voice from our own personal kind of past experience. But all voices inside our head are not created equal. So I love, you know, what you were saying about how responding versus reacting was life-changing.
Yeah.
Then another thing I love about your story that, you know, we didn't really share some of the highlights here is that, you know, working with your mom and her jewelry design business, you guys were very successful, and her jewelry ended up being picked up by, is it Neiman Marcus? Am I remembering
that
correctly?
Yeah, we were in Neiman Marcus, Saks, I think in Bloomingdale's as well.
Yeah, so that could have been like one whole career right there, but, you know, you in a different direction, and then you were helping students for a while getting organized, and you were the co-author of a book on that. Am I remembering that correctly?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I tell you, I forget. I was the co-author of The Organized Student, which
And how old were you when you wrote that?
Somewhere in my maybe late 20s, early 30s, maybe. I don't even
know.
Late 20s, yeah. I don't remember. It was a little while ago.
So you know, that was something, you know, again, like you could have just said, okay, this is me, student organizer, and this is my claim to fame, and did that. But you kept on going deeper. And, you know, this, I think, is a great story about how for each of us, when we're really following what our passion is, it's leading us to something more and more that's not only particular to us, but also will help us help other people.
Yeah.
And what we get out of it is our own healing. And when we are healing ourselves, we're also healing other people through our work. So, I mean, your story just is like a beautiful illustration of that.
Oh, my God, Marcy, you just gave me the chills. I have the chills on my cheeks. I love that. I mean, look, I will say, I love what you said just there, because the two women at the beginning of this call, one of them didn't even hear the other. When I asked them about how they got into what they did, both of them used the expression, I fell in love with. You know, I fell in love with this. I mean, it just tumbled right out. It wasn't even a question. And that's such an incredible thing to experience, because really, how many people do you know in your lives who are in love with what they're doing? And yes, I know it's hard and you have to work and you have to do the hard work that it takes to make a successful business, but the fact that you're in love with this, that's why you're doing it. And what I'd also, like to add on to that is, yeah, I did a lot of things and I'm not done. I'm just in a new iteration of what I'm doing that works for me right now. Because in each of those times, there was some element of it that I loved. There was something that drew me to it. And I think part of the beauty of life is to be open to the changing of the cycles. Like, then it came to an end, and I was drawn to something else. And instead of holding on out of fear of, I don't know what's going to come next, I was willing to say, I'm leaving this job, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take off 3 months and go on unemployment and figure it out. Like, that's, that's really having that ability to trust yourself and listening to your gut. So the people that you're working with, they have trusted their guts, and just they should know that that's the best tool that they have, really. And if they can keep tapping back into that, they're going to be in really good shape. And every time that fear jumps in, I'm going to help give a tool, and I know I'm sure you're full of all the tools that you have to address that scary voice about why it's not going to work. But underneath that all, to find a way to get back in touch with that excitement and to know that the next time something that's right for you comes along, you're going to know it, whether it's an ideal client or an opportunity or a product that you love that you want to share or a new way to do things, that's your best tool.
Good. Well, let's dive into it. So tell us three kinds of clutter.
Okay, so my main aim tonight is really to give you guys an understanding, the way I understand clutter. After a decade of doing this, this is my insight into what's really going on with clutter. And then to give you a tool that you can walk away right off this call and start using immediately to start making a change now. And this is not a complicated tool, but it's a powerful tool. Okay, so we're going to jump in, and you might want to take some notes because I'm going to throw a bunch of things at you right now, but I will try to keep it uncluttered. Okay, so the main focus for right now is the three types of clutter. In order to understand how to change your clutter or whatever the overwhelm is that you're feeling in your life, the first thing you need to know is understand that there are three different kinds of clutter, and that each of those kinds of clutter is costing you. And it's costing you energy, and it's costing you, emotions, but it's also costing you money. And, the bottom line, you're in the business to make money. It's amazing to love what you're doing, but you don't want to love what you're doing and have it cost you money. You want to be able to love what you're doing and have it fully support you. So three types of clutter are space, time, and mind. Okay, space, time, and mind. The first is the kind of clutter that people will typically think of when I say the word clutter. So I'm sure if I just say it right now, images are popping into your head. Perhaps it's inventory that's piled up and has no place to go, and every time you need to get something for a client, the whole thing comes tumbling down on your head. Or you're working out of your home, and so where are you going to put it? In the linen closet, in the bathroom, in the bedroom, and then where are your shoes going to go? So space clutter also includes paper, which is probably the number one thing people complain about, to me, is the paper. Just piles and piles of paper, being inundated in the mail every day, and just your personal life paper, bills, and if you've got kids in school, and if you've got, legal and medical, paper, plus you're running a business. So all of the paper that's coming in. And I would even extend this out to digital clutter. So is your email inbox full? Are there hundreds or even thousands of emails that you haven't gotten to or haven't deleted? Are there things that you keep leaving out on a desk or in your email inbox to remind you to do something and it just doesn't quite get done? So that's another kind of clutter. That's space. The second type of clutter is the time clutter. And the way I understand time clutter is it's when you feel like you are running from morning till night, going, always busy, and you get to the end of the day and you look at your list, or you think in your head, you say, how did I not get to the most important things on my list? Or like 4 out of 5 of the important things on the list. How did these just not get done? And at the same time, you're thinking, how could they possibly get done? I was busy all day. I just don't have enough time to do all these things. So the question that we're going to want to ask ourselves at that point is really going to be around, how are you spending your time? And is it the most effective and supportive way possible? But just, you know, that is what time clutter looks like. And then you have mind clutter. And that's what we've already touched on, you know, in the beginning of this call. These are the thoughts that are cycling through your head 24 hours a day. And they are cluttering up your mind because they prevent you from thinking clearly, from sitting down and doing a business plan or planning your marketing calendar or planning your month out. They get in your mind every time you want to make a sales call and convince you that you can't make a sales call, that they're not going to want to say yes, that you're bothering people, and they're going to get annoyed and don't want you to talk to them. All the things about how you'll never be a success and this business is just too hard, or how come other people, you know, it must be really easy for other people. Look how successful all these other people are. There must be something wrong with me. I can't do this. I give up. And on that note, there was something very interesting. I just met the woman who wrote a book about the imposter syndrome, which is this idea that you don't deserve to be a success, and the talent police are going to come for you and say, you don't belong here, you know, or that thinking that it is easier for other people and it's not, you know, it's harder for you because you're not so good at it. So these are such universal emotions and thoughts that I just like to put these concepts out there so people know that they're not alone. I hear it over and over and over again, and that overwhelm that gets to people. So what happens, you know, I happen to think that most people experience all three types of clutter. I think everyone experiences at least one, probably two, but I think most people probably experience all three of them. And we're going to go a little bit more in depth into the specific examples and how they might apply to you and what they're costing you. But maybe just take a moment now to jot down, you know, this is a type of space clutter that I think I'm experiencing. This is a type of time clutter that I think I'm experiencing. You know, I'm always putting out fires. I'm not getting time to plan. And the kind of mind clutter, maybe one thought that you recognize that pops up that stops you in your tracks. Okay, I'm going to just keep going. But, you know, that's something that you can also come back to after the call to start listing what are the things that feel like they might be showing up in your life. So we're going to just go a little bit deeper into each one of those categories and look at how those are costing you. Because a lot of people live with clutter. Some people are perfectly fine with it. So if it's perfectly fine, if you have it and you don't mind it, and the people around you don't mind it, and you feel like your business is operating at complete functionality, and you're spending your time doing the things that are most important, you can find what you need when you need them, and you feel good about it, great. So I don't say mess with something if it's working for you. If you're like the people that I hear from a lot, and it stresses you out, it feels overwhelming, you feel like you're really paralyzed sometimes when you want to make a difference because you don't even know where to start, then these three things should help you start taking the next step. Okay, so number one, space. Let's say, for example, that you go to a networking meeting and you meet someone, and this woman is really interested in doing a makeup party, a Mary Kay party at her house. And she's really excited, and she thinks this is a great idea, and she gives you her business card. And then you're all excited, and you put the business card in your purse. And then sometime over the next day or two, you'll go to look for the business card, and it's nowhere to be found. It's disappeared. Either it went swimming in your purse and never came up for water, you empty your purse out, and it's just gone. Maybe you switched bags and it disappeared in the transition. Or maybe it came out of your bag and ended up on your desk and then ended up under a pile of files, papers, and receipts. Whatever it is, it's gone. if you've ever had that, and again, I tell these stories because I can relate to them because a lot of them have just happened to me, that sinking feeling, like your heart just plummets. You know, like I did all that work of getting up and going to that meeting, of sharing and being vulnerable and connecting to somebody, and I found the perfect person who was excited and wants to be with me, and this is, you know, the universe giving you this beautiful opportunity, and I screwed it up because I am such a mess. I just cannot keep it together long enough. How could I possibly have a business if this is, you know, and that for me would spiral into such negative self-talk, self-hatred, self-just misery. But on top of that, I just lost a client. I just lost a potential client who, you know, that's a few $100s. It's a few $1,000s. Whatever it is, that's money. That's what it just cost me to not be organized with my stuff. Okay, that's space clutter. Time clutter. Now, you know, let's say your, you know, your biggest way of connecting with new people is to have parties. And, I don't know what your favorite ways of having parties are, but, you know, let's say it's about making phone calls to people you've met at other parties or to friends or people in the community to set something up. It takes time to make those phone calls. It's very easy to let those things go to the end of the list because there's no deadline on them. No one's sitting there on the other end waiting for you to call them. Nobody's going to, you know, call you and say, well, maybe they will, but most people are not going to call and, you know, make you have that conversation with them. It's your business. It's your job to get those calls made. But it's so easy to say, well, but first I have to check my email, then I have to pay these bills, then I have to pick up the kids from school, then I have to look through the new catalog and see what products there are. I mean, those things are all legitimate. This is where it gets really tricky because everything on your list is important. The problem is you need to prioritize because we have a finite amount of time. And most likely, if you're like everyone I know, you don't have time for everything on your list. And so if you're not willing to make conscious choices that serve you, you're going to make unconscious choices that don't serve you. It's just going to happen.
Jennifer, say that one more time. If you don't make conscious choices that serve you,
you're going to make unconscious choices that don't serve you.
Yes.
Yeah, I just made that up, but that was really good.
Double underline under that one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So for example, let's take the party example. If you do not carve out sacred time in your calendar on a consistent basis to do the things that bring you business, the things that will bring in the money now, not the things that are more fun, not the things, you know, I love catalogs. I can sit and read catalogs all day and make it look like I'm working. However, if I do not make those phone calls, what good is it if I know my product line really, really well? I have no one to tell about it. So if you do not make sacred time in your calendar on a consistent basis to make those calls, for example, you are losing thousands of potential clients. Thousands. Every one of those phone calls could lead to a party, which could lead to 10 new clients, which could lead to 10 new parties, which could lead to 100 new clients. So thousands of people and the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they would be bringing you, you know, the new team members that you would be bringing on. You know, just like, was it Carol who was talking about her sponsor pursued her? Like, that woman put in the time to make those phone calls, and she got you signed on in 5 months, and now you're making money for her. And that's how this works. But it doesn't work unless you have a system in place and you put in the time consistently. Okay, great. So that's how time clutter can cost you money. And then the third is the mind. So you can clear your space and set up a beautiful workspace and create a fabulous storage system for all of your inventory and create excellent contact management systems and set up your calendar in a way that really supports you and gives you time to make the phone calls and have the parties and do the other things that are important to you in your life. However, if you do all of those things but do not do the part about the mind clutter, the rest of it is just not going to really make a difference. And I know that really kind of sucks to hear that, but the truth is it's the good news. Because when you work on the mind clutter, it will not only revolutionize your business, it will change your life. And it's doable. I have done it in my own life. I have done it with my clients. It's an incredible thing to see people change from being fearful and from being doubting their own value to confident, willing to take risks, willing to take that first step out, even though it's really scary, and over time, learn to embrace who they are and be that person fully. So the mind clutter, as an example of what it is costing you, if you think that people are going to be annoyed to hear from you and you're afraid to offend or bother them, for example, because, you know, a lot of people hate to make phone calls. They think of sales as a bad word, and especially women. And it took me a long time to get through that. If you think that nobody wants to hear from you, you're never going to make those phone calls. If you do make those phone calls, it's going to come across that you don't think you're of value, that you're taking up their time and you're apologizing for it. And, you know, someone who could even really want to be working with you, if they get that message from you, their confidence is going to drop. So, you know, we knock ourselves out of the picture better than anyone else can knock us out. So if your mind clutter is telling you you're not worth what you charge, or you don't deserve to talk to these people because you're kind of bothering them, you're never going to be able to close a sale. It's going to be painful, and it's not going to work easily, and you're losing your entire business. That's it. So it costs you your entire business, that mind clutter. And I will tell you, even when you have success, this has happened to me, you know, I would have a success, and, you know, when that mind clutter was really bad, I could literally be at the event that was successful and start thinking I wasn't good enough, and this was a fluke. And, you know, so like, even when I'm there experiencing the success, if that mind clutter is being really nasty, it can knock me out. And so that's where the real work needs to be done. It has to happen in all three areas, but that space is really essential. Okay, so again, space, time, and mind clutter. And when you work on one, this is another piece of good news, when you work on one of them, it actually starts the others moving as well. So you can work on the pile of papers, and it's going to allow you to come across some ideas that you had, you know, weeks ago, years ago, and now you'll be able to make time in your calendar to implement them. And you'll see what are the beliefs that are popping up as you go through the clutter and say, hey, that's a belief that I don't actually really want in my head anymore. That's something that's not my voice. That's someone else's voice. That's mind clutter. Let's see what we can do about getting rid of it and putting in a new belief instead. So it's a powerful process to be able to work on any of these three clutters because it allows you to work on all of them together. Now, I want to – do you want to stop for questions now, and then we'll go into the tool?
Okay.
Anybody have questions?
No.
Okay. Okay, then. Does anybody want to share what they had come across as an example of space, time, or mind clutter? Marcy, do you have any examples that pop into your head?
How much time do we have? I think you know, you were so on target with your examples, and I was, you know, as you were talking about the business card example, my thing, I'll take them out of my purse, but then I'll put them in a stack on my desk, and I'll just kind of leave them there for a long time. Today, I went through all the layers on my desk, and, you know, when I do that, it feels like doing an archaeological dig because, you know, they're sort of time-based, and I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, that's what I was thinking at the beginning of the month. Anyway, so I got through the piles of paper, and underneath the piles of paper were a whole bunch of business cards. And so I took the time to really look through them and just most of them just, you know, I put away, and a few of them actually had some action associated with them, and I put those in a different area. But, you know, now I can actually see part of the surface of my desk, on a, and it's on a side of the desk where I literally have not seen that surface in about 4 months. So, yeah, this is all really hitting home.
Excellent. And so what was it that allowed you to take the time to do that?
You know, I think it's just having done it often enough that I know that there's a certain point that I just have to stop what I'm doing and I have to clean off my desk because I can't, I won't have any productivity until that gets done. So everything else has to come to a halt and I have to clean it up. Yeah, just realizing
that's I mean, that's really helpful, I think, for people to hear because there's no magic wand, meaning I could wish for it to be clean and clear, but that doesn't really work, I've found, over the last several years. And, you know, you have to be able to value that time in a way that allows you to stop what you're doing and not think of it as a waste of time to clean up, but think of it as an excellent investment of your time because investing an hour now will give you so many more hours back of not having to look for the cards and the receipts and the tax documents later. So I think that's a great example and it's a good thing to know. And I think one of the biggest problems that I see or that I hear about is that people feel paralyzed. You know, they feel so overwhelmed because there seems to be something to do in every single direction that they don't even know where to start. And usually, you know, they'll maybe pick a place or say, okay, I'm just going to get organized today. And they'll maybe pick one area. But the minute they hit something that they don't know what to do with or they've seen it three times before and it still has no place, then it sort of just goes back on the pile. And they turn around, they're like, I didn't accomplish anything, I give up. So that's something to really look out for. If that's your experience, you want to find a way to do it differently this time so that you can actually have that kind of success that you're looking for. Does that make sense?
That absolutely does make sense, and I know in my own experience that once I make a pile for whatever good reason, air quotes around good, you know, on the floor, even after I clean it up, if I start a new pile, I'll tend to go back to that same spot. So, yeah, I that's for some reason that was really coming through my mind while you were talking, so I have to exercise some vigilance.
Well, actually, that's perfect because that's going to lead right into the tool that I wanted to share with everybody. So this tool came to me when I had my second little baby, and this came the first time around when I had our first little baby, and the house was a total wreck, and it's just like everywhere I looked, there were dishes in the sink, there was mail that hadn't been opened, there were just everything was everywhere, and it was overwhelming, and it was too much, and it felt impossible, and I knew I couldn't do it all, and I basically accepted that. I said, you know what, of course I can't do it all. I can't. And, you know, I don't have an extra hour a day to dedicate to organizing. Like, that's what it would take to start getting this place functional again in my head. And so I said, you know what, I don't have an hour a day, but I have 10 minutes. I can give this 10 minutes. You know, there's 10 minutes that I spend on Facebook. There's 10 minutes that I spend, you know, looking online or, you know, doing things that are really not so important. So I decided, okay, I'm going to just take 10 minutes and do as many dishes as I can in 10 minutes. And whatever I'm done, you know, whatever I get accomplished in 10 minutes, that's enough. That's a success. Because one of the things that a lot of us tend to do is, invalidate what we've done. You know, it's never enough. And that kind of negative feedback is really demoralizing. You know, one of the things that I learned when I worked with students was this concept of a negative learning cycle. If a kid is doing the best he can and he just keeps failing because he doesn't have the tools that he needs. But his parents and his teacher tell him, well, stop being lazy or just work harder or just do it this way. At some point, he's just going to give up because he tries the best he can and never gets the good results. So I guess, he thinks, I guess I'm not good at this. I guess I can't do this. I give up. And so I think that's what we often do to ourselves, and you really want to look out for that. And there's a way to shift that negative learning cycle into a positive learning cycle. And what you do is you start where you are, and you do not try to go from A to Z. I'm not going to try to go from a house that's, a wreck with a newborn to an immaculate house with full-time help if I don't have full-time help. It's not going to happen. Why set myself up for failure? So instead, give myself a small bite-sized piece, 10 minutes. Whatever I get done in that time is a success. Okay, so what I decided was the dishes. I looked at the clock. I cleared off the drain board, and I washed all the dishes. And I looked back at the clock, and I saw, I went 5 minutes over. All right, well, that's okay. It's 15 minutes. And then I did a double take because I was wrong. It was only 5 minutes. I had looked at the clock wrong. It took me 5 minutes to do this thing that I had been dreading and complaining about for much longer than 5 minutes. And so it was eye-opening to me. And to me, it then became this 10-minute miracle. That's what I called it, because I felt so much lighter and better just by setting aside the angst and the frustration and just doing a thing for 10 minutes. And I discovered that it worked for me and it worked for my clients to do one little piece at a time, and you could get huge results. When I started introducing this in my workshops, I had someone who cleaned out 5 closets 10 minutes at a time. And then she went and did her filing cabinet at work 10 minutes at a time. She would set her phone for 10 minutes. And she was able to radically change her space like this. Now, since that first time, I revised this and made this a little bit deeper. So I'm going to run through 7 steps of my 10-minute miracle and share them with you right now. I would jot them down. Mercy, maybe I can put something together if you want to send it out to people that actually lists them so they can just focus on listening right now. But So step number one is notice the thought that's running through your head. This is going to be the way you identify what you want your 10-minute miracle to be about. Are you thinking, oh, God, I have to pay those bills, or, oh, my God, I have to make that dentist appointment, or, oh, I have to put these files away. It's like a yucky thought. It's that thought where your body gets all tight and you realize, I'm thinking that I don't want to do something. That's step number one. Notice the thought, because that's the thing that you're going to want to focus on for just 10 minutes. Step number two, and this is going to sound a little bit weird, but you're going to actually thank your brain for having that thought. It's a little counterintuitive because it feels like a negative thought, but you're actually going to thank your brain and say, oh, thank you for bringing to my awareness this thing that needs to get done and the fact that I don't want to do it or that I'm afraid to do it or that I'm resisting doing it, procrastinating. Thank you. I know there's a reason why. I don't have to know what the reason is, but I thank you for whatever purpose you think you're serving by putting that fear or resistance into my brain. I know it's there for a reason, and now I'm going to set it aside. So sometimes I would literally put my hands to my head as if I was lifting the thoughts out, lifting the fear and resistance out, and physically putting it somewhere else and saying, I can come back to you in 10 minutes, but right now I can't work with you in my head. So thank your brain and set aside that fear, set aside that resistance. That's step number two. Step number three, set your timer. Really, set your timer for 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes. You want it to go off. You want to hear it. You can look at your clock at your computer if you want, but it's even better if you can set a timer. Step number four, do whatever it was that you were resisting or procrastinating about. Just do it, or do as much of it as you can get done in 10 minutes. If it's making a phone call, just make the phone call. You've already set aside the fear and resistance, so now all you need to do is make the phone call. If it's making an appointment, make the appointment. Sometimes you have to make a phone call and you get an answering machine, but you know what? You took the first step, and that was great. The next 10-minute miracle will be following up or sending an email or whatever that is. If it's more than 10 minutes, if it's a stack of files that need to be put away, then do as many as you can in 10 minutes. If it's a stack of files that need to be put away and you don't have a filing system, that's another question, but maybe you spend 10 minutes starting to set up a filing system or having a temporary solution. But whatever it is, 10 minutes on that thing. Step number five. when 10 minutes comes, when the alarm goes off, stop. That's a really good step because all you have to do is stop doing what you're doing, okay? Step number 6, which is something that I incorporated because I realized this was an essential missing step, validate your success. This is what we just talked about. It's so easy to dismiss the things that we do as, oh, it's not a big deal, or I didn't finish, or it wasn't really good enough, or it's not perfect. You keep validating yourself that way, you're never going to really do anything. You're never going to want to do more because it feels so bad. You don't even celebrate when you do something good. So you start shifting your negative learning cycle into a positive one, and you be proud of yourself. You say it out loud. You write it down. Whatever it is, validate your success. Wow, I just put away 3 files. I'm awesome. I just made that phone call I was terrified to make. Woohoo, I'm going to do a happy dance now. You really validate it because the better you allow yourself to feel about these little successes, the more easily you're going to be willing to do them in the future, and the more they're going to start to snowball into bigger and bigger successes and less resistance. Step number 7, do it every day. 1 10-minute miracle a day will change your life. It will change your business. It allows you to see that things are possible that you thought were impossible, that you're throwing a lot of resistance and fear at things that really don't have that much power, and you can take the power away from them by just following these 7 steps. Do it every day, and you will change your business. And that is my approach to uncluttering your life and creating your own place of joy.
Yeah, yeah. This is so powerful, and, you know, uh-huh. I wish that we had a real-time rewind button because I loved what you were saying about in the 7 steps about really talking to yourself and your brain and saying, you know, in step 2, thank you for bringing this up. Mm. Because when you try to, like, sort of confront your negative self-talk kind of head-to-head, like, I'm going to ignore you, you know, that's not as if that somehow doesn't take the energy out of it. Whereas saying thank you is just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
that lets the energy come out of it. So I love
it's
that.
Like I'm learning all these parenting things. And so you can't, if your child is trying to get your attention in a really negative way, you know, on the one hand, you can ignore it so that he learns a different way to communicate. But on the other hand, maybe he just needs the words to express the thing that's upsetting him so much, and he just doesn't have that language yet. So if instead you say, I hear that you're upset, can you help me understand why you're upset? He might calm down. And so instead of fighting, because at the end of the day, in this case, you're fighting yourself. And when you're fighting yourself, you can't win. So if you can say, ah, you are a part of me, I'm a part of you, you're trying to serve me in some way, it doesn't seem to be working, but let's figure out what you're trying to tell me, then you can move forward instead of being in a deadlock.
Yeah, yeah. And then on step 6, when you were talking about validating your success, which is another point that I think is so important, and you have this wonderful sentence that I'm wishing I had the rewind button for it, and you basically said, you know, the better you feel about the little things that you're doing, it was sort of like the easier it'll be.
Yeah. The easier it'll be to do them next time because, you know, the way our brains work is we've got these synapses in our brain, and when you learn a new piece of information, it's kind of like walking down a new bumpy road. But the more often you review that information, the slicker that pathway gets. It's kind of like pouring oil down a slide, and then it gets really, really slick. So that's how this is what I learned when I was teaching kids. So you learn information by repeating it over and over again, and it creates this slick groove in your brain. So by training yourself to understand that you can do this thing that you've been resisting, you can do it. And the more you do it, you realize how possible and even easy it is. The easier it gets for you to do it and then do a bigger one and a bigger one and a bigger one. And it's just baby steps. So you'll turn around at one point and say, wow, look how far I've come. Like, look what you and I did at the beginning of this call. Look how far we came since that January. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I'm wondering is, do we have time to do a couple of questions, and then I'd love for you to share a bit about how people can take a next step for those people who know that this is important. Okay, great, because I so love what you do. I have a problem like stopping talking about it myself. Let me just press my own mute button and let anyone else who has a question or comment jump in here.
I just have a comment. This is Carol. I can't wait to get started.
Excellent.
I mean, I know sometimes I do little bits of what you're talking about, but this is going to feel more organized. Mm. Like, for instance, last week I hadn't exercised in probably 3 weeks, and I knew that I needed it so badly. And it's like, okay, you don't go do your whole thing. Don't even go do all of your strengthening. Just do, you know, your upper body and do, like, 20 minutes of aerobics, and that's all you have to do. You know it'll make you feel better, and just go do that. So I did that, and of course it made me feel better, and I wanted to do more, but I felt like I couldn't, and it was like, that's enough for now.
Yeah.
Getting over there, doing it. So, and I know what you're talking about, but now just the idea of a 10-minute miracle every day, it's exciting.
Oh, I'm so happy. And I will tell you, because I'm really glad that you shared that. First of all, congratulations, and that's amazing, and definitely be validating yourself for that. The thing that you definitely want to do, which you just reminded me of, is make sure you stop at 10 minutes, just like with your 20 minutes of aerobics. Like, if you, even if you got really into it, if you said, okay, I'm going to keep going now, your brain the next time would say, oh, I'm not going to fall for that. You say 20 minutes, but you made me work for 40. So it's really important to stick to the time that you set so that your brain trusts you. Again, it's like with a kid. If you tell the kid you only have to, you know, work for 10 minutes and then you make them work for another 20 minutes, they're not going to trust you next time. So it's the same with your own brain. So congratulations, and I'm very excited for you. Do you have any idea of what you want to focus on for your 10 minutes? It could be 10 minutes about anything, or it could also be focused on one thing over the course of time.
I'm not sure yet. I'm going to start with something easy. I'm looking at my desk right now, so that could definitely use 10 minutes. So I might not even focus on something all the time. I might do 10 minutes on this and 10 minutes on that. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, and I'll tell you two more little points. You know, you might sprinkle them throughout the day if you feel like they really work for you. You know, you might say 10 minutes here, and then it occurs to you another time. But I wouldn't plan to do that. I would say just plan once a day is great. And the other thing that someone once raised, because I had taught this, and then on the next call she said, well, my 10-minute miracle took 2.5 hours. I'm like, well, that's not a 10-minute miracle. So you want to be careful to choose something that's not a huge project that you can't only do a piece of. Like, she was trying to, I think, you know, rearrange her entire filing system and wanted to get it all done. So you want to be realistic and say, well, if it's the filing system, I can only do this much of it. Or I need to set aside a bigger chunk of time to do an actual organizing project, but that's maybe not a priority for you. So, good. Congratulations. And I'd love to hear how you do with it, actually. That's exciting.
Okay. Good. Any other questions or comments?
Hi, Jennifer. It's Marian. Can you hear me?
Hi, yes.
Hello. I wasn't sure if I was still on mute. I just want to say that what you have shared has been such a blessing, because I know I have all three types of clutter in my life, and Marcy and I have actually discussed it, and she said it takes longer to stress about something than to actually sit down and do it, and it is so true. I find myself so stressed out about little things like piles of laundry on the floor, and if I just take 10 minutes to sit down and do it each day, then I'll be able to knock it out. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. That makes me so happy. It's great. You're right. It's when I think about how much time I go into, not just in my own head, by the way, like it's plenty in my own head of the anxiety and the frustration and the self-blame and blah, blah, blah. It's also with my husband. You know, it's you know, when it builds up, you know, how much time do, well, you do this and I'll do that, but how come this is, like, that's not how I want to live. And so taking that little step makes such a big difference. So I'm so happy that that was really good for you. Yay. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Good, good. Yeah. Yeah. This is such a wonderful call. And I know, Jen, that there are people on this call who definitely want to stay in touch with you and learn more about your message and what you have to share. And so can you tell us a bit how people can do that?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. The first thing and the best way to stay in touch is really to first become a part of the community. It's A Place of Joy is the name of my company and community. And if you just go to aplaceofjoy.com, there's a sign-up page right there to join up and get my joy mails, which just go out every few weeks and share insights and articles and things that I've discovered and things that I want to share with people about organizing all different areas of their lives. So, again, aplaceofjoy.com, I'd love to have you as part of the community. And that's, again, a free e-zine joy mail that I send out, and it would be great to have you on board. And I actually, when Marcy and I were talking about this call, we played around with this idea, and I got very excited about it. So I had been running a group where I would have the entire day, we'd do a virtual intensive where people were in their own homes or offices literally organizing and going through their space or whatever project they were working on while I guided them as a group over the throughout the course of the day. So we'd check in. First we'd have a group call and I'd give them all these tools, and then we would check in and, you know, talk about what the next, you know, do, you know, basically plan for what they were going to work on. They'd go and work, come back on the phone, check in, talk about the blocks that they're hitting, go back and do work. So it was literally a day where people could get the stuff done, know that they were not doing it by themselves, have the support of a coach and an organizer, and really just get it done. And so Marcy and I came up with the idea of designing one specifically for her community, for direct sellers, for people who think a certain way, have certain jobs on their desks and things that they want to accomplish. And so we put together a mini intensive just for Marcy's community. And it's going to be a mini day because Marcy said that most people in her community tend to have smaller chunks of time available. Like while an entire Sunday may not be realistic, a four-hour half day is doable. So that's what we did. So I actually created a whole page just for you guys, and that's aplaceofjoy.com/mini-intensive. So aplaceofjoy.com/mini-intensive. And that page is only for Marcy's community. This doesn't exist for anyone else. And it's going to be awesome. We haven't decided a day yet, and I thought maybe the people in the community or certainly on this call had some feedback about timing, you know, in terms of, you know, 9 to 1 in the morning is the best and Wednesdays are the best. I don't know if there is that sort of consistent rule, but I thought I would put that out there as a question. But everything else is pretty set. It's a full toolkit. It's the call, the group call, but most importantly, it's the full day, the half day of being together, getting this stuff done in real time and getting feedback so you can break through the blocks and get through the point where most people give up. When I did this last time, every single person on the call, by the third or fourth call, they said, I would have given up by now if it weren't for this. So if you've ever experienced that determination to get organized and then that depression and overwhelm and giving up, this is a great way to break through it and do it in a really powerful and supportive environment. Oh,
yeah,
and for the people. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
And in addition, Jen, you're also going to help people get set up for their day too, right? Through the questionnaire and a little bit of advanced preparation. Is that right?
Yeah, thank you. It's, you know, I talk about the day, but the focus is both before and after. It's basically if you're ready to start clearing your space, clearing your time, and clearing your mind, this is the package. You get to fill out a questionnaire that I personally review, so I get a sense of where you are, what's going on for you, and then can help you determine where you want to focus your energy on that day that will best serve you. You come on to the group call, and we review the tools, and then you have live Q&A. so you can ask all your questions to prepare for the day and know how to use these are my best tools. Know how to use them and how they work for you and then what you should be focusing on. You get the live day, and then you also get a private follow-up half-hour session with me. So it's actually a lot. So you get a private one-on-one session with me to really talk about what worked, what didn't work, and what will allow you to move forward into bringing all these things that you learned into your business. It's a lot. It's a really great program, and it's really great to hear what other people are going through. As I'm sure you can tell from being in Marcy's program, part of the amazing thing of being in a group program is knowing you're not alone and hearing what other people are struggling with and what they're celebrating and sharing your own insights with them as well. And as a gift to the people who are specifically in her programs, who are either private clients or in these group programs, I'm actually offering $100 off the early bird price that no one else is get committed and really take their business to the next level. It's an extra gift for that because those are the kinds of people I want in my programs. So that is what I put together for you guys.
Yay. Thank you, Jen. This is going to be really, I think, you know, I'm torn between saying revolutionary and evolutionary. It's sort of because, you know, as an entrepreneur or as a direct seller, one of the things that I always start out talking about in the first week of my group programs is how if you want to take your business to the next level, you've got to change something in your environment.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's going to be changing something, you know, we talk about it in terms of changing something in your space or changing something in your schedule that you're doing. And when you break that past pattern and you move into something new, that just sets up such a tremendous sort of cascade of energy shifts and changes. So this
100%, yeah. I mean, what I've seen over and over again in my own life and with my clients, when they are willing to release things, when they're willing to let go of maybe it's old businesses or old clothing or old papers and leads that they never followed up on that are just expired, when they're willing to release these things and trust that the universe will provide what they need when they need it, new things just flow into their lives. I mean, I have just really miraculous stories that I've experienced and that I've seen that kind of blow my mind. So it's, you know, being willing to take that risk because it's very scary for a lot of people to let go of things. But it's if you're willing to say, okay, universe, I'm willing to let this go because I know that you have something better for me. And I'm willing to trust that it's going to come. And it's very powerful. So, yeah. Huh.
Yay.
Thank you, Marcy, so much. It was really, really great to be a part of this group and to hopefully provide something that will help these wonderful people share what they love with all the rest of the people around them.
Yes, absolutely. There's just so much value that I'm sure everyone who's on the call live or listening to the recording will be getting out of this. I really want to thank you so much for being with us and just sharing not only your expertise, but as you know, I love your enthusiasm and passion and positive energy, and that's just sort of a gift in itself to receive during this hour.
Oh, thank you. And Marcy, it's just, I always love talking to you and hearing your coaching. So it's been such a treat to hear the ways you can just pick up on things and reframe them and just share them in a way that, oh, yes, that was the most important thing. Thank you for making sure I paid attention to it. So you're a total treat. So thanks, Marcy.
Oh, it's been a great call. So with that, we'll wrap everything up for the night. And for everyone who's live on the call, I will be sending out a follow-up email. So if you missed any of the URLs or any of the specifics of the 7 steps, more to follow on that, and you'll have it all in writing soon. So thanks again, everybody, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Good night.